The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
Hey, and we welcome you to the program. It's great to have everybody here on a Thursday afternoon. We are looking forward to a really interesting program. Rick Carr will join us in a minute, and Andy Katz in a couple of moments. A little bit later on, Dawn Staley live from the SEC Women's Tournament, and then Dennis Dodd with so many significant conversations that we will have to discuss with him. But let's begin with Rick Carr. It's been a while since we've had a chance to talk to Rick. Rick, it's great to hear from you again. How are you?
I am fine. It's the first time I've been at the head of the show to hear your opening. Do you play that every day?
We play it every hour, Rick.
Oh, my God. Well, I I'm going to suspend the rest of my life, and I'm going to listen every hour because I think it's kind of neat.
Well, that is Taylor Hicks, who won American Idol, I think, 16 years ago. And he's a friend of mine from Birmingham. He and Mark Kubiak, our executive producer, started talking one day, and Taylor wrote it. We put the video to it for the TV part of it, and there you have it.
We need to make some significant dollars on that from your perspective, but I guess you've already thought about that.
Well, I where I work, Rick, all we think about is the product.
Well done. Boy, was that well done. That was a great Feinbaum metamorphosis.
It seems like the world is starting to open up again. I mean, we've been talking to you for over a year about COVID, and I know it depends on where you are in the country or who your governor is, but give us the lay of the land on the sports world right now.
Well, you know, I don't want to be Fauci, but, you know, Florida, we're here and we're masked up, even though I got two vaccines, which is wonderful. I assume you're in pretty good shape with your medical situation. But I got to tell you that the Texas, Mississippi, I don't want to judge things, but it was a little less than a year ago I was calling you from the ACC tournament on the Thursday, and I was ready for some wonderful weekend action that did not happen. And then I drove up to the Ivy League tournament to be ready to watch that, and that did not happen. And then I flew out of Hoboken or Newark, stayed in Hoboken, New Jersey, and I said, boy, what a silly mayor to put a curfew on at night now. What's going on? And now, you know, here we go. And the sports world is opening, some say gradually, some say not. Spring training happening. I've already been to a couple of games. I decided to break my sports fast. I went to the concession golf tournament last weekend over in Sarasota, and still only 20% capacity. I think we're easing in, and we're easing in economically. We can talk about March Madness and Final Four in a couple of weeks, but they're going to be at 25%, and Indy is going to limit some of the restrictions as well. And here we are at the conference tournaments. What do we know? Well, we know that even if it's in kind of a quasi-bubblette in Indianapolis, we're going to have television, and that means we're going to have big dollars, and that means we're going to not get whole again, but we're going to be on the way.
Well, let's talk about that for a second, because, you know, the conference tournaments begin, some of them this weekend. The women are playing now. Even without, you know, big crowds and sites, I mean, I realize communities are not going to make money, but in terms of what the universities get, as long as the TV dollars are there, is everything copacetic?
Not copacetic, but close to copacetic.
Okay.
So, you know, and let's remember that the teams take a little bit of a hit, especially for tournament time, when they have to buy tickets and you expect that they're going to eat some, certainly like the bowl games, where that's just a cost of doing business. So some would say if you don't have the requirement of fans, you can get to keep some of the money in your pocket. But, of course, the big dollars are the television dollars, and it's a fairly complicated formula we'll get into when next we talk about the units per victory, and the farther you go in the tournament, and most cases it gives you more money for your conferences. Some cases it gives you more money for yourself, but at the end of the day, you need it. You need those dollars, and if you didn't think they were playing a game for dollars, look at what the NBA All-Star Game is all about next weekend. It's a play for Turner and TNT.
Talking to Rick Carr, Rick, let's get beyond college basketball, which is clearly going to take up the entire month, but there is tremendous optimism about the fall. But is there any concern, or how much concern is there about, you know, what we're seeing this spring, especially in in the two states that you mentioned, that things maybe get off track. Could any of that affect what is after that?
Well, of course. And, you know, as you know, Alabama announced that their intent is to go full throttle. A lot of the schools are a little more cautious. But I think everybody, unlike the last-minute surprises of last year, will have a series of contingency plans. You talk to athletic directors and you get them alone, and they tell you this has been the worst year for a lot of different reasons because you got to plan 19 scenarios and 18 you throw away. And the one that works is the one that's COVID-related today, not yesterday or tomorrow. And so everybody has a plan that is sequentially staggered as to capacities. Architects have looked at how you clean facilities. You're talking about social distancing. We're learning a lot. We'll talk next year about what we've learned during the pandemic about streaming on media and how to get people in and out of stadiums safely and what happens when you open up too quickly. But, you know, let's deal with those lessons later. Right now, we're just worrying about getting through this.
Talking to Rick Haro, and we are getting through it, and outside of March Madness and the Masters, I would guess the biggest thing on the sports calendar in April or May, it's in May this year, is the NFL draft. Do you think that will look fairly normal compared to, I mean, last year it was about as abnormal as it could be. What do you hear on that?
Yeah, but you know, it's interesting. How do you define normal? So I think normal in the future is going to be a combination of pre-produced segments and live stuff and a little less reliance on the crowds in the street, even if we don't have to have social distancing requirements. So, you know, Nashville taught us you can bring people together. Vegas, we'll see what happens with the draft. I think we'll have more prepackaged segments in the green rooms. Look at what's happening with Slam Dunk and some other events at All-Star this next weekend where you're inserting them and they're happening elsewhere. So I think we're understanding that we have a big television production, and that's really important. The other thing we're learning, by the way, is Major League Baseball. Do you realize spring training, and I was just at a game, people have to fork up $150 as scalpers to get into spring training games socially distanced. Now, I would never think. So the sun is going to rise in the west tomorrow. That's my comment.
Rick Haro, getting us started here today. Rick, good to have you on. We will we'll dig deeper into the to March Madness. Next week will be just a week away from it. We appreciate your time as always.
Good, man. Talk to you soon.
Thank you very much. Great to have Rick on. By the way, as we were talking to Rick, a story breaking on the LSU situation, and that is going to be one that we should hear more about tomorrow when this expected report is. But Kenny Jacoby, Nancy Armour, and Jessica Luther, who have been at the vanguard of this story from the beginning, are reporting at this hour that I'm just going to read you the beginning of their piece they just posted. At the height of his fame as LSU's head football coach, Les Miles was accused of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and at least on one occasion, kissing a student. That according to the internal investigative report, which I guess was released today. I thought it was coming out tomorrow, but apparently it is now out. The investigation done by an outside law firm on behalf of LSU in 2013 did not find that Miles had sexual relationships with any of the women, but it found his behavior inappropriate. Miles strongly denied kissing the girl. According to the report, he said that he had done nothing wrong and was simply mentoring young women at the university. As a result of the investigation's findings, then LSU issued Miles a letter of reprimand, required him to sign forms stating that he had read and understood the school's policies. The school also ordered him to stop hiring co-eds to babysit, cease being alone with them, and attend 8 one-hour sessions with an attorney and pay for it out of his own pocket. So so that is coming out of the internal report, according to the USA Today. The Hush Blackwell report will, which is slated to be released publicly tomorrow, that is correct, is expected to reveal even more about Miles' inappropriate conduct during his time at LSU, that according to USA Today. Miles has disputed some of the findings, One student worker told investigators, according to USA Today, that Miles had kissed her twice while they were driving in his car after suggesting that they go to a hotel together and mentioned his condo as another meeting place. He also complimented her on her appearance and said he was attracted to her. Miles has denied all of this. So quite a report. Meanwhile, Kansas, where Miles works now, has not commented publicly, nor has Miles made any specific remarks in relation to these latest allegations. Okay, we'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome you back. Great to have all of you here, and we have a number of guests that will be dropping by throughout the program. We'll continue to update you on anything we learn from LSU, and tomorrow that will be a major topic. That story will be released in the morning, and certainly if it stops at Les Miles, that might be considered good news, but it is still pretty remarkable that Les Miles continued at LSU after these allegations were raised. More of your phone calls now at 855-242-7285. We'll start the phone calls with James, who is in Alabama. Hello, James.
Paul?
Hey there. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I am doing quite well. Thank you.
You know, I was sitting here listening to you. I wonder, have you ever been accused of anything?
Of a crime?
Oh, of anything, Paul, of kissing a girl.
I am pleased to say that I have never been accused of any inappropriate behavior.
Okay. Let me just share this with you.
Okay.
It is really easy for someone to make an accusation, and I'm not claiming that this accusation is not heinous on some level, but all someone has to do to make an accusation, and again, I'm not saying that this one is not accurate. All they have to do
I mean, why are you saying what you're saying if you're not suggesting what?
I am not suggesting that. But see, a lot of times we see things and we hear things, and we just automatically assume because it's in the media.
No. We don't automatically assume. I grew up in journalism.
Well, let me ask you,
James.
This.
I grew up in journalism where you had to look at both sides of a story, not the side you wanted it to be.
Oh, Paula, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'm not concerned about the Mad Hatter. He's a big boy.
No, but I know exactly what you're trying to say here, and I understand what you're saying. Because it is easy for careers to be ruined off of false accusations. It's also easy for men to abuse their power, which they do every day of the week.
Well, I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. You're not hearing me. If we didn't automatically assume that there was something there when we heard these things, why are you getting so upset?
Because I've had this conversation with other people before, James. You're just regurgitating things I've already debated in my career with people.
Okay.
And I know and you can't hide behind where you're coming from. I know where you're coming from.
Okay. How do you know where I'm coming from, brother?
No, I'm just going to leave it there because James, you wouldn't have said what you did if you weren't coming from a specific perspective.
Okay, Paul, that's fair. Now, let me ask you this. This is why I called.
Remember the first thing you asked me here about 3 minutes ago? Have I ever been accused of anything?
Okay. What are you assuming, Paul?
Well, usually the first question is a curtain raiser.
Okay, now let me ask you this question. Have you heard of where Texas is about to do with their mask order?
Yeah. How could you miss it?
Do you know if Kay Ivey went forward today?
I have not heard
hours.
I have not heard what Kay Ivey did.
You're not even interested, are you?
Well, I must tell you, I've been. I don't live in Alabama, so it wasn't the most important thing on my mind this afternoon. But I'm sure.
Aren't you coming back, Paul? I mean, we're kind of hoping you're coming back because I still want to be your sidekick.
Well, I just read where she is ending the mask order on April 9th.
April 9th.
Right.
Well, I guess I'll go around breaking her directive from now to April 9th.
You know, on that situation, though, James, isn't it? I mean, I'm a big believer that if you should, you've heard me say this lately, you should do whatever you want to do, as long as it conforms to where you are.
Paul, let me ask you this question. Let's just say people are out there running around wearing their mask.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, she raises this mask order.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's any safer just because?
No, well, first of all, you and I both have been places over the last couple of months where people are not abiding by it. I mean, I was in a gym the other day, and
that's not what I
and a guy.
You,
and what was I supposed to do? Go over there and make a
safer?
I think it's
relevant. We're closer to the same team than you want to admit.
Well, maybe on COVID we are. I'm not sure we are on sexual harassment.
Oh, well, I'm not suggesting that I'm against sexual harassment, but I'm just saying it's easy to be accused of.
Of course it's easy. Do you think it's a coincidence that three people have accused the governor of New York of sexual harassment, or is that a plot to undo him?
Now you're trying to tell me that the Republicans are trying to get it quiet.
No, I frankly think that they're probably 10 more people that will come out and say the same thing.
So you're telling me that men in power are subject to this sort of thing?
No, men in power over the history of mankind, James, have abused that privilege.
Oh, of course. Paul, let me help you, brother. Let me enlighten you a little bit. I've read a little human history, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I've even been, guilty of writing some of it.
Well, listen. We probably agree on more things than we disagree on.
Of course. Of course. So has it been a good week so far?
I think this has turned out to be a wonderful phone call.
That's not what I asked.
It's been the best.
I called you to try to get some balance in my life. I've just spent the last 3 or 4 days. With my heart being ripped out of my chest, and it certainly was not by a man in power.
Well, James, I tell you what, I am glad to hear you're doing better. You call tomorrow, and tomorrow I will cheer you up. Hate to run. We're up against a break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we appreciate you being here this afternoon. I know many of you have been watching the SEC Women's Tournament. We'll get you back there in a couple of hours. It's been an interesting and exciting morning and afternoon. But we have a lot to do here over the next couple of hours, and we will get to your calls, many guests. Let's start with some big headlines. And the headline of this afternoon comes from Baton Rouge, where Les Miles is squarely in the bullseye of this investigation. The investigation report is scheduled for tomorrow, but USA Today just moments ago has obtained information from the report saying that Miles was accused, this is in 2013, of texting female students, taking them to his condo alone, making them feel uncomfortable, and on at least one occasion, kissing a student. That is according to an internal investigation, according to USA Today. Kenny Jacoby, who is one of the writers on the story, said Miles was accused of texting female workers on a burner phone, driving them alone to the condo, and I mentioned kissing a student. LSU's punishment, it warned Miles, don't do it again. He wrote that story with two other reporters, and we will talk more about that tomorrow once the information is officially released. There has not been any comment from Kansas, where Miles is currently, operative word there being currently, the head football coach. Ross Dellinger, in the SEC's 11-state footprint, paranoia has trickled into state capitals, fearing neighboring states will pass better NIL laws sooner. Lawmakers are swiftly pushing through bills. We don't want to lose a competitive edge in recruiting, especially in the SEC. Of course not. So where are we today? We've already had a couple of guests while you were watching basketball. Andy Katz will give us his take on the NCAA tournament. And then Dawn Staley, one of the top coaches in America. She's also the Olympic coach. She'll join us at 5 p.m. And later in the show, Dennis Dodd, he is very close to Les Miles. We'll get his take as well on what Miles' rather shaky future looks like right now. But first, your phone calls at 855-242-7285, 855-242-7285. So the women's tournament started yesterday through this weekend in South Carolina, and then next week the men's tournament in Nashville. The tournament begins on Wednesday. Let's get back to the calls. We go and check out Gamma. I was just trying to make sure I saw that name correctly. In Pittsburgh. Hello, Gamma. Good afternoon.
Paul, how are you, sir?
I am doing great. How are you?
Good afternoon, sir. Excuse me. Not bad, man. I'm so surprised I got here. This is amazing.
Well,
hey,
thank you.
Real quick, I didn't want to keep you guys. Huge fans. And Alyssa and Andrea, man, they're kicking butt over there, like, you know, covering the women's side of the NCAA tournament. So just shout out to those guys. And you guys keep up the great work, Paul.
Well, thank you.
I
yeah, they are doing a fantastic job. And we appreciate you saying that. And I'm sure they do as well. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Drew, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Drew, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Yeah, how are you, Drew?
I'm good. I called you not too long ago. I was from Alabama, like listening to you in Birmingham, just calling you back, like what you're doing. Just kind of wanted to get a feel for, I'm an Auburn fan and also a Democrat. So Tommy Tuberville kind of in the headlines, you know what I mean, for doing some crazy stuff. Just kind of want to know what your opinions on him were, where you stood with him, since you're not in Alabama anymore.
Yeah, you know, I've known Tommy a long time, and a friend of mine told me that he was texting with Tommy on his first day at work, which was January 6th, while he was in the middle of the insurrection, getting phone calls from the President of the United States. So he said he had a pretty eventful first day on the job, probably topped his first day at Auburn. I've always liked Tommy a lot. I have talked to him over the years as he moved toward running for public office, and I like the fact that there's a football coach in Congress that understands the important things as far as the political part of it. I understand your view of it, but you have to remember politics is local, and to get elected, sometimes you do have to say things that appeal to your constituency.
That's true, Paul. Very well put. I appreciate it. Yeah. Love your show.
Thank
Listen you. To it for a long time.
Well, that means a lot.
Thank you.
I hope you'll call again. We'll have to get Tuberville on the show one day to talk football and how he's doing with his new job. Let's check in next with Mac, who is in Baltimore. Hey, Mac, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? Well, first and foremost, this isn't really why I called, but listening for the past 30 or so minutes, I just want to say we've been talking a lot about Les Miles' future after mm-hmm. these allegations came out, but I think it's more important that we talk about the victims' futures and how their lives have been altered by this tragedy and the unfortunate.
Right before we came back, we came over from the from the basketball tournament. We were talking about Miles.
I was
Miles.
Listening on radio.
Yeah, I was just telling the folks who were watching basketball, Mac, and I have no sympathy for Les Miles. I am acutely aware that men have been wrongly accused, just like women have been wrongly accused. This is not about Les Miles. This is about him abusing or being accused of abusing his power as the head football coach. And as a newspaper person, I had to understand whether people liked the press or not, the difference between an allegation and corroborating the allegation. And that's what this investigation at LSU was about. They obviously did not think the allegations were scurrilous, or they wouldn't have prohibited him from some of the things that they did. What this is really about, and it's 2013, was the culture down there. I think it's a completely different culture now under Scott Woodward. I think he's a phenomenal athletic director, and I don't think Scott Woodward would have tolerated what was discovered in that investigation. But we'll find out more tomorrow. I'm not convicting Les Miles of anything. I'd like to hear Les Miles' side of the story, and we haven't heard it yet.
No, I completely understand. I do appreciate that point. Thank you for sharing that. But the reason why I wanted to call is because I was watching the Gator basketball game last night against Missouri, mm-hmm. and there was a flagrant foul called on Anthony DeRuji when he was just going up with his hand straight up, jumped up straight up and down. And they called it a flagrant because they thought that it wasn't a play on the basketball. And it just started making me think about how a few days ago someone was talking about how Steph Curry on your show evolutionized the game with the three-point shot. And how kind of, as we've gone through, you know, refs have had to, and officiating has had to keep up with the evolutions of the game to make sure that they're kind of calling things as they should be and as the game changes. And I feel like right now is a turning point where the officials are just behind on how offensive players are able to take advantage and initiate contact to make it look like a defensive foul. And refs keep on giving them the call. I mean, I know Steve Nash and a bunch of other NBA coaches were complaining to the media about Trae Young, how he does his slowdown move where he gets someone on his hip and he'll just stop and jump backwards, but he initiates the contact and they call the shooting foul every time. I just wanted to see maybe kind of like how what way could refs officiate this better? Because, you know, if someone's going straight up and down, obviously there's the cylinder, that's a defensive call.
Yeah, let me say this, Mac, and I hate to interrupt because we're up against a break, but I think it's a better idea to get somebody on who understands it. My knowledge of officiating is no more than the person sitting next to me at a bar. I have a vague understanding of it, but I'll see if we can broaden that out a little bit at the right time. Let's take a break. More to come. Busy afternoon, as you can imagine. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. More on the LSU situation as we learn more. And we're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of
ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Great to have you here on a busy, busy Thursday afternoon with basketball all over the place. Today, women. The next week in Nashville, the men will play, and we'll get you back to Greenville later in the afternoon for the night sessions. Let's get to some more calls here. And right now, Robert is up next. Hey, Robert. Thank you. Good afternoon. Richard, go right ahead.
Yes, Paul, how are you today?
Richard, I am doing great. Thank you.
Good. It's good to hear your voice. I've been listening to you over the years, for many years, off and on, and I just had to call. I've never called before, but I'm calling about the show you had on Tuesday. This is kind of emotional for me, but that show was just kind of like lightning in a bottle, Paul. Your conversation with Jay Randolph, just great. It brought back so many memories of when radio was king of the hill and when radio was something to be revered and listened to. And I think you'll agree with what I'm saying.
Yeah, Richard, thank you for saying that. And for those who didn't see it, and I realize people were not watching all the time or listening, I had a call from a guy named Jay in St. Louis. He was online to get his COVID shot. He said he was 87, a former broadcaster, and he started to tell the story, and I'm thinking to myself, that's Jay Randolph. But I wasn't sure.
Right.
And then finally, I tried to it's funny, Tim Brando hit me up afterwards, and he was listening, and Tim, being the quintessential broadcaster, he and I are the same age, and he said I was doing the same thing. He said, I'm thinking as a talk show host, come on, Paul, find out who this guy is. And I was overwhelmed. And I know, and I'll speak for you if I could, but I think that, for a 25-year-old, I've been 25, and I've had my dad and family members say, you don't understand. But as you get older, you do start thinking back to a different era. And that's really, radio was such a personal medium. Television's phenomenal. One of the great inventions of all time. But there was nothing more personal than a kid and his transistor radio.
Right. The reason I was calling, the thing, and I could take forever, but I'm not going to take that long to talk to you. It's just like, it's one thing in that conversation led to another thing and that other thing. It just kept going on and on. It could have gone on for hours. And it got to the point where your conversation with him, you got to the point where you started talking about KMOX in St. Louis, and man, I go back listening to that in the 50s. And then that got involved, somehow that got you talking about your time in Memphis where you grew up. And then the next step, you mentioned something I didn't know about you, that you spent some time in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Right.
And I wanted to call and ask you, what years were you in Shreveport working?
I was there in 1979. Late in 78, early 70, I just graduated college. I've told this story, so I apologize. You always hear about the five-star on National Signing Day with all the six hats on the table. I had two offers. I had two newspaper offers. I had an offer from the Bristol, Tennessee Courier and the Shreveport Journal, and I'm not disparaging either one of them. I was glad to get an offer. There was a lot going on in my personal life, and I knew if I'd gone to Bristol, I was going to end up staying there for a long, long time. And I think you can figure out why that would have happened. I don't want to be insult this poor young, now older woman in East Tennessee right now. But I I took the Shreveport job. I didn't know a single person there. And it really turned out to be it was a painful step to leave all my friends behind, girlfriend behind. And, you know, there were plenty of nights in the 104 degrees of Shreveport, Louisiana that I regretted it, but it turned out to help me, you know, flap my wings a little bit, learn what life is all about, and ultimately got me to Alabama, which really helped, ferment my life.
Okay, so you were with the newspaper there. You were not with.
Oh yeah,
the
no,
radio
I didn't.
Station.
I didn't get involved in radio until much, much later. I was a newspaper guy, and that's how I cut my teeth for really the first 30-40% of my career. And then I started doing both. I started getting involved in radio in Birmingham about 10 years after I got there.
Okay. Well, this just really got me in hearing the conversation. Of course, not only with Jay and KMOX, but when you got to start talking about Shreveport, I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana.
Did you?
But I was long gone by the time you got there.
I've told Tim Brando this. I don't think I really appreciated Shreveport because I was too young, and I was a rebel with a cause or without a cause. I can't remember. I don't know what I was. And I lived right near Centenary College. I loved that place. I used to go over there all the time because I didn't have a friend in the world.
Right.
And it was, there's still that lunch place is still one of my favorite places I've ever eaten. Strawn's right near the college. And amazingly, I don't think I'm not sure I've been there since I left, but I will get back there again.
Okay. Well, it just made me kind of homesick. I left there in 64. I went to Fair Park High School.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And you made mention of the fact that KWKH, the radio station there, discovered Elvis Presley. And
right.
They discovered him on the Louisiana Hayride. And I grew up backstage on the Hayride. My
Did
dad
you really?
Was a member of the Louisiana Hayride. Yeah, my dad played with Hank Williams Sr.
My goodness.
The last 4 months that Hank was alive.
Oh man, that's I mean, I knew Hank had a connection to Shreveport. I didn't remember what it was, but so tell me more about that.
Well, this was in the fall of '52. Hank had actually started on the Hayride in '48, the summer of '48. The Hayride started in '48, and he got there and went on the show in the summer of '48 and was there for almost a year. And what happened is what happened to everybody who went on the Hayride and got big. The Opry, the Grand Ole Opry, came and got him. They had more money, so they took him to Nashville. He was on the Opry for a couple of years, but he was going downhill. He had a lot of problems, and the Opry fired him in '52, and he came back to Shreveport for the second time. And by that time, we got there in 1950, and Dad was on the Hayride, and he came back in '52. And they hired him back in September of '52, and he was there the last 4 months of his life, every Saturday night. Dad and I were backstage with him every Saturday night.
I never knew that. Richard, I can't thank you enough for sharing that. It's an amazing conversation. You be well, and thank you for being here today.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank
Good
you.
Talking to
wow.
you.
That's you never... You never know where a phone call is going to go or anything's going to go, but that was extraordinary. Thank you so much. Well, we have a lot to do here on the program, including taking your phone call. Don Staley, I mentioned, will join us in about an hour. Andy Katz coming up here in a few minutes. We'll get his take on the upcoming men's tournament. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.